Hello and welcome to our audio service for the first Sunday after Easter. This is Reverend Leslie here and it's lovely to be with you. We will be listening to a gospel reading shortly from the Gospel of John 20:19-31. And if you can hear a little dog barking in the background, it's because I'm sat in my office, which is right next to the Culver Hay surgery, and somebody's left their dog in the car and it's causing a bit of a riot. So let us begin in prayer. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So our reading is from John 20:19-31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus then appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus turned up. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And through the doors, although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hands and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believing. And believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So my reflection today is going to take in all of our readings. So do have a look at your pew sheet, because we are looking at the Exodus reading and then the Acts reading, then Revelation, and then the Gospel of John, which you have just heard. So we are in the first Sunday after Easter. It's a little more subtle, maybe, than the jubilant resurrection morning that we all enjoyed. And yet the readings that we have today pack a powerful punch of fear, of doubt, of confrontation, and of astonishing faith. They ask, each of them, not just what we believe about God, but how we see the world today. I suppose they're asking us, are we optimists or pessimists? Maybe we're skeptics, or maybe we like to be referred to as realists. Going to begin with our Exodus reading, the crossing of the Red Sea. And we all know this one from our Sunday school years, possibly set after the first Passover. And Pharaoh has said to the Israelites, "Go." And we find the Israelites are trapped between Pharaoh's army and the sea, and panic overtakes the people. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? The Israelites shout at Moses. It speaks of pessimism. Everything is interpreted through their fear. And Moses responds with what sounds like realism. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. But this isn't blind optimism from Moses. It is a trust that he has based on the faithfulness that there is in his relationship between God and himself. And of course, we know God parts the sea, and on the other side, there is a song of praise that suddenly rises, not just from Moses, but even from Miriam, Moses' sister too. And the journey from fear to faith is amazing and real. But it's not as quick, because they've gone through a lot, the Israelites, haven't they? Then we turn to our reading from the book of Acts, where Peter and the apostles are brought before the council and they are ordered to speak and they are told to stop speaking in Jesus' name. And Peter replies, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Now, this isn't naive courage either. Remember, Peter very recently had denied Jesus three times because he was fearful, just like the Israelites were. But now, post-resurrection, he seems to be a transformed man. He sees reality very differently. He's not ruled by the threats, but rather he is ruled by the risen Christ who has conquered death. He is the realist. And he is a realist because he's soaked in the resurrection. Now, God's authority outweighs even the power structures of his day. Then we move on to the reading from Revelation, a reading which lifts us up on a cosmic scale. The reading says, "Grace to you from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood." John, who is writing in what we call apocalyptic form, was exiled and likely isolated when he was writing these wonderful words from Revelation. But John, in his writing, doesn't give into despair. He sees not a crumbling world, but a reigning Christ. His vision doesn't ignore suffering, it just reframes it. Jesus is not absent in our pain. Jesus is the pierced one who is now the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And John, our author of Revelation, is not a starry-eyed optimist either. He is a realist who has seen the full spectrum of human suffering and is still able to say, "Jesus reigns." And then finally, we've got our gospel reading from John 20, forever labelled poor old Thomas, the doubter. Well, there we have it. Is he a sceptic? There is a sceptic, I think, in all of us. You see, Thomas wasn't in the room when Jesus first appeared. He didn't reject resurrection entirely. He just wanted evidence. How many of us say that? "Unless I see, I will not believe." Jesus doesn't scold Thomas. He meets him. He shows up, wounds and all. And Thomas responds with one of the clearest declarations in the gospel. He says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas, the so-called doubter, well, he's not in a dead end. He is a doorway. Jesus' response teaches us that scepticism can lead to deep, abiding faith when we're willing to be honest and open to that encounter. Be a sceptic. Go on. It's fine. But be willing to change your mind too. So where do we find ourselves in these stories? Are we pessimists like the Israelites before the Red Sea, expecting doom at every turn? Are we sceptics like Thomas, unsure, but still showing up? Are we transformed like Peter, once afraid and now bold? Or perhaps, like John, we're trying to interpret a chaotic world through the lens of a risen Christ. To be a Christian realist, a real Christian, is to sit in the balance, seeing both the cross and the resurrection. To be a Christian is to acknowledge suffering, injustice, fear, and doubt, but then to refuse to let any of those to be the final word. Christian realism says, yes, the world is broken, but God is still moving. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The words that we will say soon, it's a central point in our Holy Communion liturgy. In our lives today, we live between red seas and locked doors. We face headlines filled with violence, relationships filled with pain, and futures clouded with uncertainty. And yet, we proclaim hope. And this isn't naive hope. This is not superficial cheerfulness, but hope grounded in the risen Jesus who bears scars and still speaks peace. Jesus' words to Thomas are also words to us today. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. Believing not because we've touched the wounds ourselves, but because we've encountered the risen Christ in our community, in our reading of scripture, in our worship, in the breaking of bread and the receiving of Christ's blood in the wine, and in moments of extraordinary grace. So, optimist or pessimist or skeptic or realist, maybe we are a little of each. I think that's reasonable. But in the light of Easter, perhaps we're invited to be resurrection realists. People who live with their eyes wide open to the pain of the world, yet hearts also wide open to the God who is still in it. He's still in it with us. Let us be people who can sing like Miriam and speak like Peter and see like John and wrestle like Thomas. And through it all, may we be found faithful. Not because we see clearly all of the time, but because we keep walking and we keep trusting that the risen Christ walks with us each and every day. Amen. Blessed are you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To you be glory and praise forever. By raising your Son from the dead, death has been destroyed. And new life has been restored. In him the victory over sin and the grave is won. As you call us to newness of life, may our lives reflect your glory. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, bless your church, that it may reveal your presence and the power of the resurrection. May each church community, especially this here at St Martin's in Nibley and St Mary's in Wootton-under-Edge, at St Kenelm's in Alderley and at our chapel in Tresham. May these communities show signs of new life and joy in you. Through our relationship with you, may we bring others to be faithful. And we ask your blessing upon all who are seekers, all who are new in their faith, and all who are struggling with doubt and darkness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bless the world with your peace.
the peace that it cannot achieve on its own. And we pray for peace between nations and peoples, thinking especially of Russia and Ukraine and of Israel and Palestine and all those other countries across the world that are in dispute and where there is pain and misery. We pray for all who live in fear for their lives, all who have lost confidence in the world around them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we ask that you bless our homes and our families with the joy of your presence. May we be ever open to you and your love. We remember today all who suffer from poverty or homelessness. We ask for your blessing upon all who live amid strife and fear, all who are unable to rejoice in life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, bless all who feel restricted by what is happening around them. We remember all who live in violent or deprived areas. We ask for your blessing upon all who are sick, all who are injured through accidents, and upon those who care for them. Lord, give them courage and hope in their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of life, Lord of eternal life, bless our loved ones departed, and we think particularly for our Catholic brothers and sisters in this world today, as they grieve along with us the death of Pope Francis. We pray that in fellowship with all the saints, we may rejoice in the fullness of your presence and glory. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I wish you all a very happy week. Pray that you will find blessings in all that you do and that you are a blessing to others in all that you do. And we finish with our final blessing, saying, maybe we could say this together, in saying of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you all.